Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show, presented by Jewstool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Armour. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, I'm not. Yeah. No, he's got to show up. He's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 hit.
I can do vision.
Should we end the podcast now?
I think I'm at breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
I think I'm right now.
That's asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the
crazy
full package.
No way.
Speed.
I don't care. No way. I can't even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy defining plays. 13 seconds. And you get the ball in field goal range. That is absolutely insane.
I'm going to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
All right, Meisty. Here we go. Again, another fun podcast we get to do instead of just, you know, going through the previews, which we will get to later, of course. You know, this divisional round, Meisty, has a lot to live up to because last year's divisional round was some of the best football I've ever seen. I mean, honestly, it was one of the best weekends of football that I've ever seen. So if this one lives up to even, you know, a fraction of what it was last year, we're going to be in for some good football. But before we get to the previews, we're going to have a little fun today. Try to rank the remaining 8 teams in the playoffs. We have some surprises in there, Meisty. Some teams that perhaps we did not see getting this far in the playoffs, and some teams that are like, yep, that's exactly what we expected them to be, exactly where they are. So let's rank them 8-1, descending order, and I'm going to start, Meisty, at number 8. It's got to be the New York Giants, right? With all credit to Brian Daboll and what that team's been able to accomplish, you don't really have one thing on the roster that you're pointing at, and you're like, that's the reason the Giants are good. It's sort of like, it's a question mark, right? Yes, the defense has been opportunistic. Dexter Lawrence has just been an absolute force up front, right? Daniel Jones has been able to use his legs efficiently on third down. All of a sudden, Isaiah Hodges has come up as of late. He's been like a top 20 receiver in the league this year, you know? And the offensive line has played better with Andrew Thomas. So obviously there are certain things you can point that and be like, well, they have a couple good players here and there, but there's no one unit on the team that's really that good. It's an average team on paper. And with that being said, with so many great teams as there is in the playoffs, I'm going to have to say that the Giants are number 8, Meisty.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you have to start with the Giants for sure because first of all, they're the only team out of all the teams that don't really have a quarterback going into next year. Everyone's kind of woozy-wazzy. I mean, what the Giants did last week was, some would use the word dazzling. Saquon ran, Daniel Jones probably played almost as QB ranking number 1, maybe 2 with Dak Prescott's incredible performance on Monday night. But the Vikings don't have a good defense. The Giants didn't prove anything more than like they just reassured all of us that the Vikings suck. Mm-hmm. And like that the Vikings were overrated and that there's, you know, I mean, I took the Vikings. I thought that my money was on the Vikings. I really thought the Vikings would just at least get through that round. That was embarrassing. But, I mean, Brian Daboll might be the coach of the year. So, you know, if he takes down the Eagles, he for sure can get coach of the year, in my opinion. And, you know what? Maybe they do win. Maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah. You know, I mean, listen, anything can happen in the playoffs, you know. But now when we're ranking teams and, you know, the talent on the roster, the way that, you know, the performance on the field, then yes, agreed. The Giants have to be number 8. Moving on to number 7 over here, I think the second 7 is obvious as well, is a team that we probably, you know, they don't belong here. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Some would argue that they are number 8, but I think they're number 7. And this is the reason, Meisty. I mentioned with the Giants that there's no one thing you could point to and be like, well, this is the reason they're here. With the Jaguars, it's obvious. Trevor Lawrence is late surgence in the season. That is why they're here, right? He played much better in the second half of the season than he did in the first half of the season. We all know the concerns that we had in Jacksonville halfway through the season, Meisty. People forget this was a team that was like 3-7, and everyone's like, you know what? The Jaguars might have to start looking for a quarterback very soon. Trevor Lawrence's first year and a half of his career has not started off his career very well. This was a legitimate thing that people were discussing, you know? But then all of a sudden, he puts together a string of 3 or 4 really good games, culminating with that big comeback upset against the Ravens. And from there on out, he played pretty darn well down the stretch. So he's played well down the stretch here. The interesting is he hasn't played that well the last 2 weeks, despite them winning two essentially playoff games. But we'll get more into that when we get to the preview podcast. But at the end of the day, I'm going to go with the Jaguars just because they have the quarterback there that's proved that he can perform at a high level, especially in late game situations. Jaguars number 7, Meisty.
Yes, so I have to agree as well. Obviously, 7 here with the Jaguars. That was an amazing comeback last week. It really was. But that's literally their entire season was just comeback. Like the front half of the season was ugly. The Ravens, and I said it when they beat the Ravens, I was like, uh-oh, I think the Ravens just woke up a franchise quarterback. And he's been playing very well since then. 6 straight victories for them. But scoring gets harder as the playoffs go on. This is not going to be an easy matchup for them. They can't go down 28-0 to start the game. It doesn't work that way against the Chiefs. All right, the Chiefs don't do that. You're not going to just get back into the game. I mean, can it happen? Sure, it can happen, but not against the Chiefs like that. They're the number one team for a reason.
Not like
that. But we'll get into that later. But for now, I mean, yeah, that's my number 7.
Number 6, I'm going to have to go with the Dallas Cowboys. As talented as that team is, I just think that, you know, they've shown some duds this year, obviously. And, you know, most recently last week against the Commanders and, you know, heading into the playoffs, everyone was concerned about this team. Like, you know, the Cowboys have been a pretty good team. They have a talented roster. But before the game against the Bucs last week, we said the Cowboys have been playing way better than the Bucs this year. You know, even though on paper the Bucs might have had a better roster coming into the season. But at the end of the day, it just didn't show up sometimes. And Dak Prescott's been turning the ball over a lot, putting the ball in harm's way. He hasn't been having his best season. But last week they played great against the Bucs. Dak Prescott had a fantastic game with his legs, with his arm, doing it all. Sort of the upside of Dak Prescott that we're always trying to see, but it's not always there. But you know, it's still below. I still think the Cowboys are below those upper echelon teams. So I have them at number 6, Meisty.
Uh-huh. So here we have a switch. I have the Bills in my number 6 spot.
Whoa.
To me. The turnovers by Joe Burrow and the sloppy play, right?
Bengals.
No. The sloppy play and the turnovers.
You have the Bengals at number 6.
No, I have the Bills.
Oh, the Bills. Okay.
I have the Bills at number 6.
Okay, just start talking about Joe Burrow. Okay.
No, I said Josh Allen. Oh, did I say Joe Burrow?
Mm-hmm.
I meant to say Josh Allen and his turnovers.
Okay, got it. Fine, just to clarify.
All right, yeah. And the fact is that they depend on him throwing the ball deep down the field and making turnovers, but also being successful at it. You know, I don't like that. That to me, that's, you know, they got lucky against the Dolphins because the run game showed up and played great. The Dolphins defense is not very good. But to me, going forward, you can't play that way. And to me, that they don't have it. The only thing the Bills have over any other team right now is this, like, the DeMar Hamlin momentum and the fan base with the team. And they feel they have a very tight-knit group right now, which is always healthy going deep to make a playoff run.
Okay. I mean, listen, I strongly disagree with you there, as you'll see later in the list. Number 5, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, here's the reason, Meisty. This is the reason. It's not because I think the Bengals are a great team. Got a lot of talent on the offensive side of ball. The defense has played pretty well this year. The reason I think that the Bengals are number 5 is because their offensive line is simply too banged up, especially with Jonah Williams going out in the Ravens game. They came into the Ravens game already with 2 starting offensive linemen injured, and now Jonah Williams, a starting left tackle, got injured, and he was not playing particularly well this season. Carmen came in and was an absolute disaster. Justin Houston just ate them alive. I mean, it was a disaster in the second half specifically. So Joe Burrow is going to have to get the ball out very quickly. He's going to be very limited in what he could do. Yes, last year, did they make a run with a bad offensive line? They did. They did. But number 1, what are the odds of doing that again? I just don't know if it can hold up for so long. And number 2, you can argue with the 3 injuries that, because over half their offensive line is backups now, you can argue that this offensive line is even worse than it was last year, Meisty. And we know how bad it was last year. So, you know, Joe Burrow is a whole different player when he's passing from a clean pocket as opposed to under pressure, obviously, as a lot of quarterbacks are. So therefore, it gives me a little concern. So I'm going to put the Bengals at number 5, Meisty.
It's something that people always I see now with the big Trevor Lawrence win that he had the other night. They're like, Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence, which number 1 pick would you consider? Like, one took his team to the Super Bowl with no offensive line, and one played the Chargers. So I'm going to agree with you here. We're 5, right? So I at five, I have the Bengals as well. I mean, that they barely grinded through the Ravens, who some people really thought they'd explode on the Ravens. So, and like you said, banged up offensive line. Defense is not the best defense in the league. So you're going to have struggles now. And I'm trying to even think who they play right now. Oh, they get Buffalo. I just said Buffalo. So now, yeah, it's, you know, it's a game versus my five versus my six here. So.
Yeah, a lot of people are complaining about that Buffalo, the fact that Buffalo gets the home game. Because if they would have played, because the Bengals were up 7-3 and they were driving down the field, if they would have won the game, this game would have been in Cincinnati. So, you know,
I heard a podcast. He said, no, game was over. Bengals fans said game over. They were dry. We've never seen a comeback before from 14-3. Never, ever.
Right. No, obviously, that's silly to say the game is over. Right. But they did have the advantage, and an advantage in the NFL is an advantage. So, you know, at the end of the day, they were playing well. They were the hottest team in football heading into that game against the Bills. You know, and that sort of weathered the storm a little with two subpar performances against the Ravens these last couple of weeks. But anyway, we'll certainly see what happens that weekend. Okay, my number four, we're at the top end of this list, Meisty. And my number four team, San Francisco 49ers, my number four team, Meisty. And the reason they are number four is because Brock Purdy's been playing great. For Mr. Irrelevant, he's been playing great. But you have that big of a question mark at the quarterback position, as opposed to a bunch of other teams in the playoffs right now that have top-notch quarterbacks, no questions asked. I can't put you in that upper range. That's the only problem here. Do the 49ers have the most playmakers on a single team in the league? No question. Do the 49ers have one of the most creative play callers in football? No question. Do they have a top 10 defense? No question. Roster-wise, the 49ers are up there with the best of them. But at the end of the day, Brock Purdy still has not shown an incredible amount of arm talent, as is understood by being the last pick of the draft. That's not there. Can it be developed? Maybe. But he hasn't showed it yet. I am curious to see how he would respond to adversity, meaning he falls behind by double digits. You know, how is he going to respond to that? I don't know what's going to happen this week against the Cowboys, next week against the Eagles, but it probably will happen at some point here, I'm assuming, in the playoff run. So, you know, because of those unknowns, not a knock on Brock Purdy at all, but because of the unknowns, I have to put the 49ers at number four.
So my number four is the Dallas Cowboys.
Whoa.
Every single time I look through the Dallas Cowboys team, and, you know, they have guys. They just have people. They have men. Right, they have talent. There's just talent up and down the roster. And not that that's like, oh, well, they have all this talent, now that they're going to go win. No, we've seen that that's not been working for every team and always. But the Cowboys last week were incredible all around. Throughout the season, I mean, they put up a very good run. They were 12-4, the season, whatever they were down the stretch there. They almost got the one seed. I mean, they were, technically, it came down to week 18 for the one seed for them. So I'm a big fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I also think that in the Super Bowl, any team versus the Cowboys would be an insane game, because the one thing that every fan wants, I didn't say every football fan, I should say, but every fan, right, wants to see a shootout in the Super Bowl. Just
true.
But not a bad – you don't want to see bad defense. You just want to see a team – one team drive, the other team drive. Nothing – no horrible play, right? When you're with the Cowboys and their offense is so talented, you go up against the Chiefs, the Cowboys' defense isn't good enough to stop the Chiefs every time, right? The Bills, it's the same way. It'll be a very back-and-forth game. So I think the Cowboys are one of the most exciting teams in the NFC. I think that they got unlucky that the Eagles were that much better this year than they were. But a lot of people push the Cowboys down, but I think the Cowboys are on a run right now. I think that they will win this game possibly, and they would love nothing more than to go to Philly right now. The Cowboys would love to go to Philly. They might not win, but they'd love to go to Philly.
Oh my gosh, that would be their Super Bowl. You know, they go to Philly and beat the Eagles. Forget about it. The Super Bowl doesn't even matter at that point. Jerry Jones is rocking, but you know, the Dallas Cowboys have not won in the divisional round since 1996. So there's definitely a trend that's going to have to be bucked here if they're to upset the 49ers on Sunday. Okay, number three. Number three is a team that, Meisty, you had them much lower on the list than I thought that you would have them. The Buffalo Bills. Now, your concerns with the Bills is Josh Allen's turnovers. Now, Josh Allen has led the league in turnover-worthy plays this year. That is certainly true. He's also led the league in big-time throws. So what does that tell you about Josh Allen? Josh Allen throws the ball down the field a lot. He takes a lot of chances. And to be honest, when you have a guy with a level of talent as Josh Allen, who can make all the throws, he can make all the throws, whether it's 50 yards down the field, you know, he has to drop it into a dime on the sideline. It does not really make a difference. Middle of the field on the run, he can make all the throws. So yes, he should take chances. And some of those chances are going to go negatively, fine. But he's got a lot more positive plays than negative plays. He's got a lot more positive big plays than impactful negative plays. So, you know, when you have a guy with the level of Josh Allen, who at his peak is arguably the best quarterback in football. I mean, when this man is playing at his highest level, which has happened multiple times this year, and can happen, and last year against the Chiefs, in last year's playoffs, it was one of the best performances I've ever seen in a two-game stretch from any quarterback. So at the end of the day, you have a guy playing at that level with playmakers all around. Gabe Davis is in full playoff form, and Stephon Diggs is just fantastic. The defense is going to miss Von Miller, don't get me wrong, but I still think going forward, the Bills have a legitimate Super Bowl aspirations just to win three more games here. Albeit it's going to be tough, but to win three more games here and make a Super Bowl run. So I got the Bills at number three, Meisty.
My number three are the Philadelphia Eagles. So first of all, the Eagles, they definitely just got a huge must-needed bye for Jalen Hurts, but and they have veterans on the defense that definitely needed that rest. They do play the Giants, so that definitely gives them a boost, but we're trying not to think about that. But I don't know if that Jalen Hurts' shoulder is still good. I think he's hurt. I think that we've spoken about this, right? It's sometimes the bye isn't good. For a young quarterback, I don't think it's good. I think he needed the momentum. He doesn't even have the momentum coming into the playoffs because he didn't play the last half of the season, the last couple games. I have the Philadelphia, but I still think they have a great defense. I have the Philadelphia Eagles at number three.
At number two, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, for all your concerns are well-founded. I don't know, you know, what Jalen Hurst's injury status is going to be in terms of how that will affect his play. But if you look at the talent on this team, it's unquestionable. This team is maybe the most talented team in football. Like, you know, last week the Giants went up against one of the worst defenses in football, bottom 10 defense easily against the Vikings. They're going to have their hands full this week. You know, when you go up against a great front seven, James Bradbury and Darius Slay on the corners, that is not easy. I mean, you know, it's not going to be easy to gain separation. You're going to have to get the ball out quickly. You don't exactly have talented receivers if you're the Giants. The Eagles are going to give teams matchup problems, whether it's this week against the Giants, next week against the Niners or Cowboys in the Super Bowl. It doesn't make a difference. They have a lot of matchup advantages, and they have the matchup advantage on offense, which is one of the best running games in football, and a great passing game with A.J. Brown. So really, there are a few weaknesses on this Eagles team. How the injury will affect Jalen Hurts is certainly a question mark and a factor, but until we've really seen that he's really become less effective as a result of the injury, from a sheer talent perspective, my seat, the Eagles are number two in my mind.
So I have the San Francisco 49ers at number two. If you rank defenses left, if you go by the defenses and this left in the playoffs, right? I mean, 49ers are one, Eagles might be two, Eagles are two, and then there's like a big drop off, right? Like there's not really that many good defenses right now in the league, right? I mean, whatever you could say, some they've talented, but the 49ers are so far ahead defensively and so well coached defensively and so put together defensively right now that their offense could make mistakes, even in big games, and still find ways to, because their defense will make stops, right? The Eagles' defense, they will make stops, but they're not guaranteed. I guarantee you, when the 49ers need that stop, they're going to get that stop. They will. Brock Purdy has been playing very well, no matter what you want to say, right? Like, yeah, he might have started off a little struggling. I watched the first half of the game. First quarter, actually, it was raining, and he was struggling in that rain. And then it stopped raining, thank you to the weather and to the climate, to whatever you call it, global warming. It stopped raining. It finally stopped raining in California. I don't know. I think that it's not good for the 49ers that they're on an 11-game win streak, because all streaks come to an end. You're not going to go, how many games in a row do you go without, you know, having a bad day? So We'll see. But George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, these guys are playing out of their minds right now. Kyle Shanahan is coaching one hell of a team, one hell of a game. So I have them at number two.
No, you're absolutely right. I keep on, you know, betting against, like in the regular season, I kept on betting against the Niners just because I felt Jimmy G is going to cost them a few games. But with Brock Purdy, I don't have that excuse anymore. So certainly the Niners are a dangerous team. Number one, Meisty, we both have by process of elimination. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think we both have the same reason. It's one, Patrick Mahomes, right? That is the reason that you got the Chiefs so high. And, you know, something that goes underrated about this Chiefs team is how good their offensive line is. You know, 3 years ago against the Bucs in the Super Bowls, it was 2 or 3 years ago, the big concern coming out of that game was, well, Mahomes is under pressure all day. He was running around. You know, he had two backup offensive linemen up front. The blocking up front was not good the entire year for the Chiefs. And he was sort of able to compensate with that the year before when they won the Super Bowl. But 2 years ago, he wasn't. And that led to this trend, Meisty, last year, where teams started to catch on to the Chiefs, right? If you recall, the first 10 games, the Chiefs really struggled to find their identity on offense because we're used to the Chiefs, like, they're down 24-0. They don't skip a beat, you know? Boom, 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 a couple big plays to Tyreek Hill, a couple big plays to Travis Kelce, and all of a sudden, you know, you have the lead again. But that Chiefs team was not there for the first half of the year last year, Meisty. Like, they took away the deep ball. The teams played too deep safety, as we discussed many times last year. But then Mahomes matured. He adjusted. What did he do? No problem. I'll take the underneath stuff. I'll get it to Tyreek Hill. I'll get it to Travis Kelce. These guys are extremely dangerous after the catch, and that's exactly what he did. And now this year, they've been able to go back to that identity, Meisty. Whether it's, you know, whoever they've been able to add. And by the way, adding Tony from the Giants has been huge for them. Even adding Juju. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster has been a great addition for them. But Cole Hardman, you know, MVS. Like, you just have random pieces over here. They can take the top of a defense. They're not spectacular receivers, but they can take the top of a defense. And having these solid receivers all around with a top-notch tight end like Travis Kelce, with the best quarterback in football, Patrick Mahomes, has been enough where those explosive plays are coming back, Meisty. They've been coming back throughout the season. So Patrick Mahomes is now even more dangerous, Meisty, because of last year. Because last year, we didn't know if Patrick Mahomes could adjust. We just knew he could sling the ball. We just knew he could make spectacular plays. But once faced with adversity, once he has to adjust on the fly, we didn't know that he was able to do that, that he was capable of doing that, Meisty. But now that he's proved us that he is capable of adjusting when necessary, and then going back to his old way and making those explosive plays. Man, this man is dangerous. Going to be the best quarterback in the league for the next decade, if you ask me. So I think the Chiefs are the best team in football remaining and best team in football in general.
I don't know if it's the Chiefs. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, some might even want to go as far as saying that without Tyreek Hill, they're even more dangerous. Sometimes you knew where Mahomes was going to throw the ball. You knew he was going to find Tyreek Hill. You couldn't stop it, but you knew. Now, you don't even know. You don't even know. Is it going to go to Kelce? Most likely. But can it go anywhere? Sure can. Can go to any of his four running backs running around. Can go to any of the five receivers that are capable of making plays. It's insane. He makes receivers look so good. He makes anyone on his team look so good. Their defense, I don't even know if they have to show up half the time. Just put Mahomes out there. He'll take care of it. You know? It's insane. They did this ring around the rosy because they're like, yeah, why not? We're bored. Let's do it. Ring around the rosy. Touchdown. The play really didn't even work. If you watch the replay of the play, it doesn't really work. The guy just misses the tackle because he's the Raiders. But
yeah, you know, there's a PFF podcast that I listen to, and one of the guys he's a former rugby player. He always says that they should incorporate more rugby plays into football. It's like a cheat code that teams don't really practice for, and it's true. Like, you can really gain an advantage by doing that, but teams don't really incorporate it so much. They don't practice it so much. I don't know why.
Yeah. Commentator from Part of My Take says it all the time. He's like, they just have to watch rugby. Like, when they're doing laterals and, like, to try to win the game, if they would just run, set up, like, call hike, and everyone just quickly, like, set up in, like, a rugby form, dude, the defense would have no clue what to do. The ball just keep getting passed. And they do crazy things on the laterals. But, once again, Mahomes here can't really, I mean, we said he could, you know, like, he can't really be, he has to kind of play mistake free here. It's not going to be that easy. There are a lot of teams. I mean, yeah, he kind of gets away with one this week, right? But Jacksonville's good, so it doesn't get away with it. You know, he can come out there, the defense can show up for him. But and they're always pedal to the metal. Andy Reid's got him running. I love it. I love watching Patrick Mahomes play. So give me the Chiefs. That's my number one.
Agreed. There is nothing like watching Patrick Mahomes play football, man. I mean, you know, we'll talk about this guy much probably in the future. He's not going anywhere quickly. But what this guy has been able to accomplish throughout his career, the ups and the downs, the ebbs and the flows is unbelievable. So, okay, that's the list, man. Now, unless there's anything else you want to hit on, we'll catch you later with the previews, man. We'll catch you later with the previews. Thank you for joining us. Power rankings are always fun to do. We should do more lists in general, Meisty. I think lists are fun, you know? To go back and forth, you had a good conversation going. So, you know, I'm just talking out loud here on the podcast, so the audience gets some behind the scenes over here. So maybe we'll get some more lists. I have not brought this up to Meisty yet. This is first up. By the way, we should also at some point talk about Greg Roman getting fired. You know, that's some big news over here.
I wanted to wait for you, Huda, to be on to talk about defense. I'm not very happy.
You're not happy?
No, we'll definitely discuss it.
Okay. Why is Meisty not happy with when the rest of Baltimore seems to have been screaming for him to get fired? Anyway, we'll see that. Until then, we're out of here, guys.